Good morning, everyone. And thank you for being here on another beautiful Lord's Day. It's so good to see everybody back. I believe today we have everybody here. That is great. I've said this often and I'll say it again. We're small, but we're faithful. And that's the main thing. Keep the faith. You know, when I was a young boy growing up, I often found myself involved in clashes with my sister. She was 7 years older than I am, and when we were kids, she could be pretty bossy. When my sister would tell me to do something, my answer was to her was either no, or who died and left you, boss. But on occasion, she would preface her demand by saying, "Mother said." And when Mother said it, it was a different story. It was very important for me to know who was speaking. If it was my sister, forget it. But if it was my mother, a voice of authority, then I needed to sit up and listen. Just think of how much more important it is for all of us today to know who to listen to when it comes to our eternal salvation. How important it is for all of us to know just who is the voice of authority for us. My friends, the Bible. The Bible plainly tells us who we are to listen to today. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We are living in the last days. This is just another announcement from God that his Son, Jesus the Christ, is his spokesman for us in this last age. Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 17th chapter now. We'll be going to quite a few verses this morning. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Most of you probably know when our Lord was transfigured on the mountain and Moses and Elijah appeared with him, we find in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now let's turn to Matthew 28. And at the conclusion of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. While still in his ministry on earth, Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father," Luke 10:22. So let's go over now to John, the 12th chapter, and read verses 48 and 49. John chapter 12, verse 48 and 49. It's Jesus speaking, and he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." Now, if you would turn back quickly to John chapter 6 and look at verse 63 with me. And concerning those words, Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus is the one today who has the words of life. Now, friends and brethren, I want to ask you, how many times have you heard folks say that if we just keep the Ten Commandments, we'll be fine? If you're a member of the body of Christ, how many times have you heard folks become absolutely indignant when you say that the Ten Commandments do not constitute the law that we're under today. Boy, I've had a many argument over this, or discussion, I like to say. False teachers want to point to us the law was given to us and that do not govern us. False teachers want to point to the laws that were never given to us and do not govern us. Why look to Moses when Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me"? Why look to Moses when God had Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him"? My friends, you and I are going to answer to Jesus for our actions today. We're going to be judged by His Word, not by the law of Moses that contained the Ten Commandments, and listen to this, or the other 596 ordinances that were vitally important to be kept. It's almost impossible to keep 596 of ordinances that go along with the Ten Commandments. Don't talk about that. Make no mistake about it. These Ten Commandments, because for many people, that's all they know about the Bible. So, brethren, the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, was given by God to Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and keep your ribbons there because we'll be coming back to Exodus 20 all morning. Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments tied the people of Israel to their God, and the first of those Ten Commandments, which, by the way, are all found in Exodus 20, was in verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The Israelites were to recognize that God was one, supremely alone, and was to have absolutely no rival in their worship and affection. But if you and I were to build a graven image and bow down to worship it, we would not be judged by that commandment. It was given to another people in another age. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. "But though we have not violated that law, it is no longer valid." We would have sinned. We would still have sinned. Why? Because we would have ignored the authority of Jesus, who declared through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 8:6, he says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father of who are all things, and we in him." And most of you remember Ephesians 4 and verse 6, where we read, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So if we have another God, we are condemned, not by the law of Moses, mind you, but by the law of Christ. Let's go back to Exodus 20 and look at verse 4. Here we find the second of the Ten Commandments. It says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." The prohibition was given to Israel after they left Egypt, a land filled with idolatry. They were heading for a land whose inhabitants were wholly given over to idolatry. This law was given to them to bind them to the true God. This law was given to a people who were not under the law of Christ, but were required to submit to the law of Moses. Now, my friends, if you and I make a graven image in our homes and bow down before them, we would not be judged by the second of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because that law is effectively nailed to the cross, according to Colossians 2 and verse 14. Understand, in all things we must answer to Jesus Christ, in whom resides all authority today. When you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged by His words, not the law of Moses. Now in 1 John 5:21, we find these words. It's stated, little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's wrong today to make a graven image and worship it, but not because it was in the Ten Commandments which God gave to Israel through Moses. It is because Jesus said so. So what about the third of the Ten Commandments? Exodus 20 and verse 7. Look with me again. Exodus 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Again, we cannot violate that law because it was given to another people for another time and we're not under that law. I mentioned Colossians 2 a moment ago. Let's turn there if you would. Colossians chapter 2. Let's go there and read verses 14 through 17. I want to show you that that law, the law of Moses, no longer is binding on us today. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The law was taken away, brethren. It was taken away. When we use the Lord's name in vain, we do not answer to Moses, but to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, our Lord plainly said in Matthew 5, verses 33 and 34. Let's look at that, please. This is the third of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in name in vain. Our Lord plainly said in Matthew 5, 33 and 30, and 34 and 35, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great kings. The same thing is expressed in James 5 and verse 12. Now, James 5 and verse 12 is not talking about swearing in a sense of cursing, but using God's name lightly, like how many times you heard it? I swear to God. Oh, but oh my God, or good God, or the worst of all is the man upstairs. I don't know about you, but those, they just go through me when I hear them, and you hear it on television all the time. They'll say, oh my God, oh my God, sometimes 20 times they'll say it, and it just kills. It just bothers me a lot. Such should not be done, brethren. For whatever comes out of the mouth of a child of God should be truthful. We're under the authority of Jesus and not Moses. The fourth of the Ten Commandments is the one most exploited, and I think by so many today's. It's found in Exodus 20 and verse 8. Look with me. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All folks need to realize something. That commandment had not been observed by man before Mount Sinai. Most people don't know that. Most of the denominational world doesn't know it. But how do I know it? Because of what is said in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Let's look at Nehemiah 9, verse 13 and 14. I know we don't go to Nehemiah too often. I'll wait till you get there. Nehemiah 9, verse 13 and 14. It says, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgment, and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. Now that Sabbath, with all the various laws that went with it, was given to Israel and to Israel only. Only Israel, at that time, Israel, as a memorial of their freedom from Egyptian bondage. How do I know that? Again, because that's what the Bible says. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you would. In verse 15, when you get there. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Now you probably remember a few moments ago we read Colossians 2 and verse 16, which says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day." Remember that? Well, the Lord Jesus came to fulfill that law, and he did. Now in fulfilling the law, he took away the first, that he might establish the second, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10 and verse 9, when Hebrew writer says, "He taketh away the first that he might establish the second." Jesus instituted his will and testament in the gospel of the Lord. The Sabbath is not commanded. Jesus instituted his will and testament, and in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sabbath is not commanded. The day Christians come together to perform various acts of worship is Sunday, the first day of the week, as we're doing here this very morning. Now, the fifth of the Ten Commandments is found in Exodus 20 and verse 12, if you want to look with me. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." This law also was nailed to the cross. So I guess that means that we don't have to honor our parents anymore, right? No. But we today are not going to be judged by that commandment in the law of Moses. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Rather, brethren, we must obey the gospel of Christ. And included in that gospel we find in Ephesians 6 verses 1 and 2, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." We will not stand before the seat of Moses to be judged. We will stand before the seat of Jesus Christ. And the sixth commandment is an example of a commandment that was in force even before the law was given to Israel through Moses. It's found in Exodus 20 and verse 13. If you want to look with me, it just says, "Thou shalt not kill." Murder has always been wrong in God's sight. Think of the example of Cain. This law is not peculiar to the Ten Commandments. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22 about this, if you would with me. Matthew 5. 21 and 22. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry and with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." We do not answer to Moses, but to Jesus. Here our Lord took a basic law that God had elevated the moral application well beyond what Moses had said. It is by the perfect law of liberty, the law of Christ, that we shall be judged. And the seventh commandment is found in Exodus 20 and verse 14. It simply says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Certainly Israel disobeyed this commandment over and over, and it still is prevalent in our society today. However, it's not a sin today because Moses taught it. It is a sin because that's what Jesus teaches. And as our Lord did with murder, He elevated the moral application of this law as well. Staying in Matthew, if you would, look with me at Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." I had a friend of mine ask me one time, he doesn't know anything about the Bible. He asked me, he said, "Well, if it says you've already looked on her and you committed adultery by looking on her, well, why not just go all the way and do it?" That's taking this completely out of context. As you can see, Jesus went to the heart of the problem for this, and we will answer to the Lord. And the eighth commandment. God simply said in Exodus 20 and verse 15, "Thou shalt not steal." Forbidding to steal did not have its origin with the law of Moses. That was forbidden long before that. But brethren and friends, we will not be judged by any law prior to the law of Moses, nor will we be judged by the law of Moses. We will answer to Christ. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Jesus stated through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." It is to this law that we must answer when we face Christ on the judgment day, not the law of Moses. And the ninth commandment is found in verse 16 of Exodus 20, which says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." But this was to the Jews who followed Moses. We're no longer under that law. It was nailed to the cross, so it is wrong to bear false witness today. Is it? Is it wrong? Yes, because why? Because Jesus said so. Staying in Ephesians chapter 4, we must follow Christ, who said through Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That is the commandment that will confront us in the last day, not the ninth of the Ten Commandments. And then finally, the tenth commandment is concise and to the point. It's found in Exodus 20 and verse 17, and it says, "Thou shalt not covet." You and I, brethren, are not going to be judged by that law, but yet to covet is a sin. Why? Because Jesus said so. That's why. Turn to Luke 12 and verse 15. Jesus said in 12 verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Then Paul wrote these words, if you want to come with me to Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Oh yes, brethren. Coveting is wrong today, not because Moses said so, because Jesus said so. Let's go to Revelation, the 20th chapter. I'm going to point out something to you. Revelation 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Those words, according to their works. So, brethren and friends, understand that God's revelation given to the ancients who were before Moses shall judge those of that period. The Old Testament will be the standard for the Jews who lived under it and died under it. The New Testament, the Word of Christ, the Gospel according to the Apostles, will be the standard for those who lived under it. He will reward all flesh according to their works. And brethren, you and I are going to be judged by the words of Jesus, His will, and His testament, the Gospel. And it behooves all to live by it and recognize that it deals with all areas of our lives. Let's go to one last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Brethren, I hope this lesson will help you understand that today we're under the law of Christ, as Paul says pretty plainly in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 21. He says, "To them that are without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." The law to Christ, that's what we're under today. Never forget, brethren, never forget, the gospel is the perfect law of liberty. James 1:25. And that was once and for all delivered in Jude 3. And it furnishes completely unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. And it makes available to us all the things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. And makes one complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. When it was fully revealed, it made all previous remedial systems obsolete and void, and because absolutely sufficient and fully adequate in and of itself. We don't need anything else. The Bible is complete. The Word of God is complete to us. Colossians 1 and verse 6 and 7. So I ask you, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, the New Testament church, the church of Christ, and by the way, our Lord Jesus built and died for only one church, His church, the church of Christ. I ask you, would you like to become one this morning? To become a member of the Lord's church and to be under His laws, there's some things you must do. You have to believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. Then you have to repent of your sins and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll come out of that watery grave a new Christian, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. There may be some here this morning who have sinned in a way that others are aware of. And if you have, you too need to take care of that. You do that by coming forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be a member in good standing with this congregation again and a good standing with the Lord Jesus. Let us remember one thing. And it's sometimes hard to think about, but everyone here this morning is only a breath away from eternity. Just one breath away from eternity. Think about it. If you got anything you need to take care of this morning, please do so before you leave this assembly. If you will, come now as we stand and sing. Brother Bill.